You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos in the National Football League, as well as a columnist over at predominantlyorange.com, covering all things orange and blue for you, the avid listeners in Broncos country. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by MyBookie, Swap.com, and our good friends over there at Brews Brewery. We'll tell you about our sponsors here a little bit later on in the show, but on today's episode of Locked On Broncos, it is our breakdown, our Pro Football Focus grade analysis from the Broncos' big win, 45-10 win over the Cardinals on Thursday Night Football last week. And tomorrow we have our Locked On Broncos crossover show with the guys over there at Locked On Chiefs, Ryan Tracy, Chris Clark, some of the best in the business. If you are a Chiefs fan or if you're a Broncos fan trying to get the inside intel on the Chiefs, highly recommend that you guys go check out at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter. Check out their podcast. Get some inside intel. They do a very great job over there in the Locked On Podcast Network. Continues to roll strong every single Wednesday with a very, very powerful crossover series with all the NFL shows featuring the biggest matchups that week. Every team, every game that's being played, every host, they're talking about the matchup every Wednesday on the Locked On Broncos crossover series. And on today's episode of the show, we're talking about Pro Football Focus. Segment number one, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Denver right now, some of our daily Broncos rundown. Broncos backup quarterback Chad Kelly arrested. We talk about that whole situation. We talk about the overreaction in the media from TMZ regarding a Halloween party that Von Miller threw. You know, really, it's an overreaction. We'll talk about that segment number one. Segment number two of tonight's show, we're going to analyze the Broncos' offensive performance against the Arizona Cardinals. And we're going to look at their Pro Football Focus grades. Defensively, I want to take a look at the Broncos' defensive grades as well as some of the coverage in the secondary against their receivers and how that may match up or help the Broncos in this week's matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs. So we're going to bring you all this and much more on today's episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast today. So let's get started. Today, it was announced around 10:50 a.m. Mountain Time that Broncos backup quarterback Chad Kelly was arrested and charged with criminal trespassing. And that, I was shocked at first, to be honest with you. Really was. And I think going back in this whole situation, kind of seeing the details of how everything went out, you know, I don't know what was going on. Apparently, you know, according to the police report, Chad Kelly had no alcohol in his system at this time, and he was talking incoherently, mumbling. He went into this household. He sat next to this lady, apparently, and her child that was on the couch, and he started mumbling incoherently. He just got into a house that wasn't his, and then a guy that lived at the house beat him out of the house with a vacuum tube. You can't make this stuff up, guys. I don't know everything. We're going to take a look a little bit at everything and what the Broncos are going to do next. But, you know, at this point, not a very good look for Chad Kelly, who has had a string history of, you know, I'd say his fair share of mistakes going through high school, going through college, you know, being dismissed from Clemson, going to, you know, Ole Miss, going to EMCC and just a variety of different things and dropping all the way to Mr. Irrelevant in the draft. You know, I don't think if it wasn't for Jim Kelly calling John Elway, I don't know if Chad Kelly would be on an NFL roster right now. So very disappointing given what we know about Chad Kelly, how well he has played in the preseason, and becoming that backup quarterback for the Broncos here. But now you have to ask the question, what is going on with Chad Kelly? What are the Broncos going to do? Obviously, they issued a statement this morning, and they're obviously disappointed. They're gathering all the information. They're going through the whole process before they make a move. John Elway, Vance Joseph talked with Chad Kelly this morning. Now what's going to happen is they're going to wait, and they're going to decide on what to do. If the Broncos release him, they're going to activate Kevin Hogan as the backup quarterback the rest of the way unless the Broncos decide to make a trade by the October 30th trade deadline. So don't be shocked if the Broncos look to maybe do that given this circumstance of what's happened with Chad Kelly. I've seen on Twitter, I've seen people talk about, oh, well, you know, let's maybe look at bringing Paxton Lynch back. Hell no. No, absolutely not. The Paxton Lynch experiment is done. Move on. Go. Paxton Lynch is not the solution, period. Sorry. He's got more hours logged in playing Madden than he does in the NFL playbook. That's been confirmed. Fact check it. Try me. You know, I think overall, it's a very disappointing situation for Chad Kelly. Right now, I think we have to look at it this way. I think Chad Kelly needs a little bit more help outside of football. I don't think football really should be a big priority right now. I think for him, it sounds like he still has some issues going on, some past substance issues as well. Don't know if there's anything in his system. I'm sure that's going to be something that we find out here very soon. But overall, the Broncos need to find a way to help this guy, support him, you know, get him the help he needs. But I don't think that he'll be on the roster. Now, the Broncos in the past have been pretty forgiving. You know, I think overall, this is a situation you have to look at and you have to factor in, okay, what would be the pros and the cons of releasing him? You know, right now, the Broncos and the media, it all starts with this TMZ article that says Denver Broncos cocaine on the brain for team Halloween party. Absolutely. Guys, listen to me very, very clearly on this situation. Anything that TMZ reports, you have to take it with a grain of salt. It's trash. It is speculation. And look, Von Miller, every single year since he's been a pivotal member of the Denver Broncos, every year since Chris Harris Jr. has been in the NFL, Von Miller has hosted a Western theme party or just a Halloween party in general for his teammates and for support staff for the Broncos organization, for the wives of the players. TMZ's twisting it to make it sound like they had a cocaine theme party. That is definitely not the case. Emmanuel Sanders dressed up as a character from the Chappelle Show. Brandon Marshall dressed up as Bobby Brown. To be honest with you, are you really going to look into these things and overreact? People in Broncos country, fans, or a lot of people in general, you see a lot of racism going on from certain fans. I don't think they're fans. I think they're pathetic people if they have to resort to racism. But you got a lot of people hitting that panic button and calling the Broncos out, calling Brandon Marshall, calling Emmanuel Sanders out for the costumes that they chose to wear. I'm sorry, but did you guys watch the NBA game with the Portland Trail Blazers last night? They walked in, it was Halloween night, it was a costume theme night. You had Damian Lillard coming in as Stone Cold Steve Austin, you had another player coming in as the same exact character on the Chappelle Show that Emmanuel Sanders was. So where's the outrage with that? But no, you know what, it's the NFL, it's a TMZ article, you know, it fuels the agenda of a lot of racist, stereotypical people. Plain and simple, that's all I'm going to say about it. Plain and simple, it's annoying. It's a Halloween party. We've got to stop viewing athletes as just athletes who throw a football, catch a football, tackle a guy, so on and so forth. They're human beings, too. They can have lives. They can dress up, and they can go to Halloween parties, for Christ's sake. Come on. What type of era are we living in as a society if we are so worried about what people dress as for Halloween? The fact of the matter is, a Broncos player, one Broncos player left that Halloween party. And here's another fact thing that I don't think a lot of people knew. Brandon Marshall, Broncos players that weren't drinking, they were given yellow wristbands to say, look, these are people that are going to be driving. These are people that cannot be served alcohol. Keep that in mind before people want to jump to assumptions here. So, to be honest with you, one guy left. It reflects badly on one guy, not the whole entire Broncos organization. It reflects badly on Chad Kelly. There's history there with Chad Kelly. Very unfortunate for a young guy who's really trying to get his feet wet in the NFL. I'm sorry. That's the way it works sometimes. I think that people need to move on. Plain and simple. The Broncos are going to do what the Broncos are going to do with Chad Kelly. There's nothing more that any of us can do in regards to this whole entire situation. Plain and simple. So let's move on from it. Nothing wrong with the Halloween party. Get over it. People need to stop overreacting to that. That's all I really have to say on that part. And that'll conclude our segment number one, where the Denver Broncos have the daily rundown. Obviously going through the Chad Kelly news and some speculation, some analysis there. Just some fact checking going on to kind of shut the media up a little bit. There's a lot of just craziness in the media. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. Take it from people that, you know, have a logical sense of reasoning. So I hope you guys can find that here on Locked On Broncos. Here in segment number two, we're going to talk about Pro Football Focus's grades from the Broncos offensive performance against the Arizona Cardinals. That's going to be a huge thing we're talking about coming up in just in segment number two. But before we get into that, let's talk about our good friends over there at Brews Brewery. Now, Brews Brewery, they will give you a free beer courtesy of Locked On Broncos if you go inside Brews Brewery, located at 1675 West 67th Avenue, Suite T100 in Denver. That's just off the intersection of 67th Avenue and Petco Street. You go in there and you mention this ad, this mention of the Lockdown Broncos podcast. They'll give you your first beer for free. And why not? Because Brews Brewery, they offer you 100% Belgian-style beers. And at Brews Brewery, quality is absolutely key when they make their beers. They are dedicated to providing you, the listener of Lockdown Broncos, and everybody in Colorado with the freshest, highest quality Belgian-style beer in all of Colorado. It's a mile high, truly. They feature some of the finest ingredients that they use to produce truly authentic handmade beers. This includes a variety of malts, hops, fruits, and different spices to make your beer experience that much better at Brews Brewery. They're also very dog-friendly. So inside and outside, you can bring your best friend, and you can even give them something off the dog food menu as you enjoy a cold 100% Belgian-style beer. They offer a wide selection of year-round, seasonal, or specialty brews. These include sour and cask-aged beers and very special limited releases, but you can only do this at Brews Brewery, the sponsor of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Check them out once again, 1675 West 67th Avenue, Suite 100, off of 67th Avenue and Petco Street. Get to it. Don't wait for it. Go get there. Go enjoy a beer. Go enjoy some Thursday night football, or if you're hearing this, anytime you go to Brews Brewery, go check it out. Get a free beer, courtesy of Locked On Broncos. We want to thank them for being a sponsor of the show. And if your company is interested in reaching new customers, you could be mentioned right now alongside with your company or your product right now in the Locked On Broncos podcast. Guess what? Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors and products that they hear on the podcast that they listen to every single day. I listen to the Joe Rogan Show. I hear a lot of great products. That's what I try them out, because podcasts have a way of reaching people. And our demographic at Locked On Broncos, it's 98% male audience, and there's a little bit more education and earning more than traditional media audiences that listen to Locked On Broncos podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network. So have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email me at denverbroncoslockedon@gmail.com to inquire about how this can be possible for you and your company. All right, jumping right into it, we're going to take a big look at the Broncos' offensive performance against the Arizona Cardinals. Take it what you may, but the Broncos came out big when they absolutely needed to in the top five. No surprise, some pretty standout guys here. Emmanuel Sanders finishing number one, 43 total offensive plays, 25 in the passing game. He blocked on 18 run plays as well. He graded out as the highest player for the Denver Broncos here, 83.5 overall. In the passing game, very, very huge, because he did throw a touchdown catch, pass to Cortland Sutton. He caught a touchdown. He had over 100 yards receiving, 76.4 overall in the passing game, 76.1 in the run blocking game. Matt Lacoste, tight end, he came in and he stepped up pretty big in this game. I was very impressed with what I've seen from him. He played total of 18 snaps in this game, and a lot of those were on run plays. He pass blocked in one. He went out for two passes, but he pass blocked primarily for the Broncos on the offensive side of the ball. When he was in, he graded out 80.4 overall, coming in at number two. His run blocking was okay at a 59.9 overall grade. His pass blocking, 66.6. You don't necessarily have a huge sample size in terms of how he could really be graded based on being in on one pass blocking play, but on run blocking, he had 15 reps there. That's a lot. In the passing game, he graded out 81.9 overall. That's very big for the Broncos and for a guy like Matt Lacoste, getting his feet wet, getting some confidence after the Broncos lost Jake Butt to an injury. Phillip Lindsay comes in at number three, 35 total snaps, 15 in the passing game, 15 in the run game. He ran blocked. He helped in the run game blocking on three snaps. Pass pro in two snaps. He graded out 75.4 overall. Passing, he graded out 59.5. Teams are trying to find a way to neutralize him a little bit out of the backfield. Pass blocking, he actually did pretty good picking up some inside backer stunts, backside corner nickel blitzes to try to get off Case Keenum's blindside. 76.4 overall rating in pass blocking on that's just two attempts right there. And in the run blocking game, like I said, he only had three snaps. In that department, 60.0 grade overall. That's kind of in the yellow. Not too bad, but, you know, obviously some room for improvement. And then the Broncos, number four, Case Keenum, played really well. 59 total snaps, 28 passing attempts, 3 in the run game, and overall he graded out 74.7 overall. That interception really dropped his grade down to Patrick Peterson. Don't know what he was thrown to, but other than that, Case Keenum had a pretty good night for the Broncos in this game. His reads were a little bit better. Sometimes he did hold the ball a little too long. Once again, you can't do that against a team like the Kansas City Chiefs coming up this Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium. 2 o'clock kickoff time down there. You can't do that against a very good team. And the Cardinals, unfortunately, you know, they're not a very good team. So you could get away with it, I think, maybe in a little bit of regards to that. Max Garcia played pretty well in the pass blocking game, 84.7 overall. He comes in at number 5 with a 74.4 overall rating. It's going to be a little bit of a different test there when you have D Ford and, you know, just Justin Houston and some of these guys, Anthony Hitchens at linebacker. The Chiefs have a variety of different defenses they're going to throw at the Denver Broncos from that last time that they played. You can hear that preview on the Locked On Broncos, Locked On Chiefs crossover show tomorrow on the Locked On Podcast Network. Very excited about that. Stay tuned. Get ready for that. It's going to be awesome stuff over here for the Broncos as well. That episode will air tomorrow evening on the Locked On Broncos Podcast. Stay tuned for that. You can listen to it Wednesday evening or Thursday morning on your commute. And Thursday, you're going to have a game preview podcast leading up to the Broncos game on Sunday. And then Friday, guess what? You're off. Enjoy the Friday. Go do something fun. I'm very excited about that. High school football season is almost over, so that means, you know what? Full on go over here, Locked On Broncos. With no delays with anything, I'll have some time to do things a little bit more in-depth. We're going to start getting into some film analysis, film review on the screen. I got a whiteboard. We'll do some periscopes. Very excited about that. Some cool stuff there. But the bottom five for the Broncos, offensive side of the ball. We're going to start at number 19, Cortland Sutton. He graded out. One area that he consistently has struggled in for the Broncos in different spurts. He's had some very key blocks, but overall in his run blocking game, he's not very strong at it. 14 snaps in the run blocking game, he graded out 37.2 overall. Not his best game at all. 55.8 in the passing game. He had that touchdown reception, 52.7 overall. Teams like to throw the jump ball. Case Keenum's going to throw the jump ball to him. He's going to try to make a play, drop PIs, but he's got to get a little bit better as a route runner, primarily if Cortland Sutton wants to evolve into the receiver that we can, I can definitely envision him becoming, being the guy that the Broncos decided to take at that point. He could be a very talented wide receiver. We see it. Now, can he transform those tools from year one to year two? That's going to be a big key for Cortland Sutton. Tim Patrick, 16 snaps in the game, 52.8 overall grade, 50.4 in the run blocking game. Broncos receivers really didn't do a very good job outside of Emmanuel Sanders in this game in terms of run blocking, help setting up the run for the tailbacks on the outside, blocking a cornerback or a safety. That was kind of a struggle area. And then Andy Janovich kind of dropped off a little bit since that very strong Kansas City Chiefs game where he really performed really well. 20 total snaps. We've seen him diminish a little bit offensively, 3 in the passing game, and really he had 17 run block attempts, whiffed on several, and he had one penalty. He had a 55.8 overall grade in the run blocking department. Deshaun Hamilton, before he got hurt, 4 total snaps on the offensive side of the ball, and he graded out 55.6. Not very good, but the sample size, guys, once again, you have to factor in total number of snaps in this game, snap counts. You can't have some of those things happen. So, unfortunately, Deshaun Hamilton got hurt, MCL sprain. He'll be out a couple of weeks. The Broncos should be getting him back after the bye week, which should be good news for the team going forward. Devontae Booker comes in. This worries me for the Chiefs game with Royce Freeman's ankle being rolled, being out. Not sure exactly his status for the game on Sunday, but Devontae Booker, 6 total snaps. He came in. His pass blocking grade was atrocious. Deep, dark red at a 20.9 overall grade. He is a guy. The Broncos need to find a way to get rid of him. Maybe bring in another guy. I don't know. I just think that it's not working for Devontae Booker, and I don't think it's going to work for Devontae Booker for as long as he's a member of the Denver Broncos organization. I hate saying that because you know what? You want players to succeed. You don't ever want to root for a player to fail, but I'm sorry. He just doesn't have it, and I think his time with the Broncos may be coming up either trade deadline or after this season. I think we're going to see the Broncos depart ways with him a little bit, look to gain some veteran guys out in free agency or via trade. You never know what's in the draft. The Broncos got to take a look at a lot of things going forward, but they really love Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman, so that's their two bell cows that they're going to roll with from this point forward until one of those guys gets hurt. Hopefully that never happens, knock on wood. We're going to knock on wood right now. So I think overall you got to take those things into consideration. But coming up in segment number 2, we're going to talk about the Broncos defensive summary at the game against the Arizona Cardinals, how the defense really responded and they bounced back a little bit. I want to talk about a little bit of some coverage grades that the Broncos had in this game overall. We're going to look at the top 5 performances in this Broncos game against the Arizona Cardinals coming up in just segment number 3, our final segment of tonight's show. We had a lot of stuff going on. Chad Kelly news at the top of the hour of the show, as well as kind of looking at TMZ's article telling Broncos fans to take a deep breath, because trust me, it's not as bad as people think, but the Chad Kelly thing is the concern part. We'll be covered on that as we find out more on the status of Chad Kelly going forward. But before we jump to segment 3, let's talk about our final 2 sponsors of tonight's show, MyBookie. And with MyBookie, you can discover a wide variety of different ways you could win cold hard cash today, right now, from this very instance. MyBookie features an awesome variety of highly interactive features, like making live in-game bets during games as they're happening, even being able to bet on the total number of fantasy football points a player may score in all of the matchups. So don't wait for it. Take my word. Head over to MyBookie right now, and when you make a deposit, they will literally match you dollar for dollar when you use promo code LOCKEDON25. If you make a deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, MyBookie will throw you an additional free $25 of free play to add on to your deposit today so you can have some more money of free play to try to even win more money. I don't know. If you're one of those people who likes to gamble a little bit with money, look, the $1.6 billion Powerball lottery, that is happening. I got it. So when that happens, you know what? I'm buying a studio. We're going to have everybody. We're going to have everybody, and it's going to be a very cool thing if I win that $1.6 billion. But you can win money right now guaranteed with MyBookie with the Locked On 25 promo code. Once again, visit MyBookie, use promo code LOCKDOWN25 to get in the game and make money today. And we'd also like to thank Swap.com for sponsoring tonight's episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. They are the largest online consignment and thrift store, and they can save up to 90% off of retail price of some of your favorite brands that you shop with, like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J. Crew, and even Gap. They offer a variety of great deals with Swap.com. They're very quality, hand-inspected items. They're added to the inventory every single day. And if something doesn't fit you, you can enjoy a hassle-free return within 30 days of doing this. And there it is. So with Swap.com, you can stop driving store to store, sifting through the racks. You can sift through millions of clothes in just seconds with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need on Swap.com today. Plus, you'll be doing a great thing with over 14 million tons of textiles being wasted every year. Shopping secondhand at Swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about today. And we have a very special offer for our listeners, Locked On Broncos. You can get 35% off of select items for your first order with promo code Locked On. That's one word, Locked On. Plus, you can find new deals every day on Swap.com's homepage. And we'd like to thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Broncos podcast. All right, let's get into segment number three, our final segment of the show. We're going to take a look at the top five performers from the Broncos' defensive side of the ball in their big win, 45-10 over the Arizona Cardinals. Now, Von Miller coming in number one, 56 total defensive snaps. He came in 91.3 overall. The Broncos had a couple 90 grades in this game. Very, very exciting stuff to look at if you want to take a look at the grade sheet compared to other games this season. Overall, the pass rush, Von graded out at a 90.9. He had 10 total pressures in this game, 2 sacks, 3 hits, and 5 hurries in this game as well. He had 2 key stops on third down, didn't allow a single catch. When dropped into coverage, he was very huge for the Broncos. MVP of the night defensively, Von Miller. The second guy, bounce back game, absolutely needed it. Bradley Roby, 90.8 overall grade, 91 in coverage. Take a look at this stat line here. He was targeted. He was thrown at 7 times. He only gave up 3 receptions for a total of 17 total yards, and the longest pass play that he gave up was 6 yards. That's huge for him considering the weeks that he's had prior. He had 1 interception and he had 3 pass breakups. Now, the NFL, Josh Rosen's quarterback rating when throwing at him was a 10.7 overall grade. That's not very good for Josh Rosen. That's phenomenal for Bradley Roby. That could spark up his trade value just a little bit. You know, that's something to keep an eye on here. Shelby Harris comes in at number 3 from the defensive line, 90.1 overall grade. In the rush defense, he was big in the run, 90.7 overall grade. And in this game, he had 2 total pressures on the quarterback. He had 1 hit and 1 hurry on Josh Rosen. He batted down a pass. He had 4 tackles in this game, and he had 4 key stops overall. He did have 1 penalty, though, that kind of affected his grade a tiny bit, but he still finished with a 90.1 overall grade. Todd Davis, another guy that played tremendously well for the Broncos in this game. 50 total snaps in this game, 89.8 overall, 86.9 in the run game, and 75.2 grade in the passing game. He was targeted twice, gave up 1 catch for 7 yards. He did have an interception, a pick 6, and a pass breakup. Josh Rosen's quarterback rating when throwing to Todd Davis's way, 18.8 overall. So that's definitely something they can build on for the Broncos going forward. Now, Shaquille Barrett comes in at number 5, 86.9 overall. He had a very rough game tackling. He graded out 29.6 overall in terms of tackling rushers. You know, that was something, you know, he's usually pretty good at. And 24 total snaps, unfortunately, he didn't have that production. He had 2 total pressures. He had 1 sack on the quarterback, threw Josh Rosen down, hurried Josh Rosen several times. He had 1 key stop as well. That was their top 5 for the Broncos' defensive performance against the Arizona Cardinals. I really encourage you guys to really, if you can get a chance, to get a Pro Football Focus Elite subscription. I highly encourage it. But we're going to jump into, before we get off air here, I want to talk about some of the coverage guys, looking at some of the Broncos secondary and even linebackers and how they graded up against certain receivers. Now, well, let's take a look at Chris Harris Jr. His grade overall when covering Larry Fitzgerald, 65.5 overall. When covering Larry Fitzgerald, he was targeted three times. Chris Harris Jr. gave up one reception for 18 yards. That was a catch and a run of, he caught it at 6 yards, ran an additional 12 yards after the catch to pick up a first down. That kind of factored into that grade there. Chris Harris Jr. against running back Chase Edmonds out in the slot. One catch. He gave it up for 1 yard. That's really nothing at that point. So overall, that's a pretty good thing for the Broncos and Chris Harris Jr. Now, when Chris Harris was covering Chad Williams, he graded out 54.3 overall. He was targeted twice against Chad Williams. Gave up 2 catches for 22 total yards. He did have, at this point, against J.J. Nelson, you have to think about it, J.J. Nelson's grade against Chris Harris Jr. overall was a 38.3. He was targeted 3 times, gave up 1 catch for 3 yards. Chris Harris Jr. after that had an interception and a defensive pass breakup on this. So I think, you know, DRP is a disruption. Chris Harris Jr. had a disruption on J.J. Nelson. So these are the grades that those receivers had when going against Chris Harris Jr. So that's kind of a good status right there. Now, when we look at Bradley Roby, who had a phenomenal bounce back game against Christian Kirk, Christian Kirk's grade overall, 58.6. You know, going against Bradley Roby, Christian Kirk was targeted 2 times, 0 catches. Bradley Roby had an interception in this game and a pass breakup against Christian Kirk. Against Chad Williams, very talented wide receiver, targeted 4 times. Roby gave up 2 catches, 12 yards in that. The longest was a 6-yard play. He also had 2 pass breakups in coverage against Chad Williams, so that was definitely a huge thing as well. And J.J. Nelson had a rough game once again against Bradley Roby. 1 target, 1 catch, 5 yards, nothing really. And Bradley Roby finished out with a 91.0 overall grade. That's something for the Broncos corners is absolutely important to kind of discuss and to analyze a little bit. Now let's take a look at the safety position. Now against Larry Fitzgerald, Simmons gave up 2 catches on 2 targets, 18 total yards, and the longest one was a 10-yard play. So I think at this point, you know, Justin Simmons has done a good job kind of helping the Broncos in the run defense a little bit. Joe Woods not necessarily going more nickel packages, more going base, rotating the safety over to cover the slot. That's a good move to help keep him in the box to help with the run as well as to cover the pass. So Justin Simmons being utilized a little bit better this week, very huge as well. Justin Simmons against Chase Edmonds, tailback, 2 catches on 2 targets, 11 total yards. The Broncos, I think, did a very good job overall in this game. In the secondary, in the run game, I thought they did a phenomenal job coming in with a great game plan, getting to Josh Rosen and making his life a little bit more miserable. But that'll do it here for tonight's episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. We want to thank all of you guys for tuning in once again to another episode. We'd like to thank our guys at Brews Brewery, MyBookie, and Swap.com for sponsoring tonight's podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Locked On Broncos crossover show with Ryan Tracy, Chris Clark, two of the best guys in the business. If you don't like Chiefs, you will love Ryan Tracy and Chris Clark. They're very awesome Chiefs guys that do a lot of great coverage over there at the Locked On Chiefs podcast. We have that crossover show airing for you tomorrow evening over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. Once again, this is your host, Cody Rourke. We'll see you next time for another episode of the podcast.